Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Good evening, everyone. Hi, this is Apostle Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries. Hallelujah. It's so glad. It's so good to be back in the house of the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. We thank and praise God for being able to come and join in with our Bible class, End Time Men and Women of War Bible study on tonight. I'm going to call it to order tonight. I'm going to read a scripture, hallelujah, and then I will pray, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's good to be in the house of God one more time, hallelujah. Okay. I'm going to be coming from Isaiah chapter 1, starting with verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doeth not know, my people doeth not know, doeth not consider. Our sinful nation, a people laden, with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupt. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revoke more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the feet, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises, and putrefying sores. They have not been clothed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolated. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolated, overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city, except the Lord of hosts have left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. I have just read you from Isaiah chapter 1, from the second verse down through the ninth verse. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, we just come tonight humbly before your throne of grace, Father, confessing and repenting in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we come tonight just asking you to bind the strong man tonight in every evil way, every negative thought, Father, against us and in anyone in radio land on tonight, against our ministry, our church. Father, we ask you to bind it and send it back to the sender. Father, we come right now. I come just asking if I've offended anyone in any kind of way, Lord. Please forgive us now in the name of Jesus. Search our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. If there is anything in there that should not be, Lord, please remove it right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you tonight, Lord, to create in us a clean heart, renew a right spirit, and a sound mind. Father, we just ask you now to let me lay my will down, Father. Let me decrease, that the Holy Spirit increase and teach your people on tonight. Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all of the glory, all of the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank God. We just thank and praise God right now for being able to be back in the midst of our Bible study on tonight. On tonight, we're just going to study tonight for one half hour at at the half hour here, we're going to close out for emergency situations. So, and we'll pick it back up on Thursday night by the grace of God. We'll pick it back up on Thursday night by the grace of God. And we want you all to join in. We're so grateful that our radio broadcast, the radio people out in radio land, they're tapping in and listening as well. We thank and praise God for you, you, and you. So we're going to be studying out of the book of Daniel tonight, just for the half hour on tonight. And we'll pick back up on Thursday night. Just I'm trying to get myself together here. Y'all be praying for me. Things God is blessing, and He's doing some mighty and wonderful things, and it's just almost like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. So, and I don't know, let me see where we left off at. I know I do this every week. So, okay, we in chapter 8, I think we are. I thought I wrote it down. But I'm going to start with verse 1. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. Now, this is the third year of the reign of Belshazzar, the last king of Babylon. And the vision given in chapter 7 was the first year of his reign. Therefore, both of these visions took place toward the end of the Babylonian Empire. And I saw in a vision, this is a verse 2, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace. Yeah, I did read this last week, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Uliah. And in the vision, Daniel finds himself at Shushan, which is Susa, the capital of Persia, the second world empire. In the place, in the palace, is more accurately near the fortress. Eula is something river which flow by Shushan, by Susa. I'm sorry, by Susa. The reason for the setting of the vision being at Susa rather than at Babylon is that this vision concerns the second and third world empires. The event foretold in this vision were all fulfilled within 200 years. Such fulfillment is so remarkable that the liberal critic insists upon a late dating of the book of Daniel. They trying to say that Daniel didn't write it and all this kind of stuff, but he did. That is, he maintained that Daniel was written after these events had transpired, and so is merely an historical record. It is a historical record, but Daniel had to, he experienced all these things that he had to write it. Nobody else experienced them. This is an attempt to get rid of the miraculous, which is embarrassing to his system of interpretation. Verse 3 says, then I lift up my eyes, this is Daniel, and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns, and the two horns were high. But one was higher than the other, and the higher came of last. Yeah, we talked about this. See, the ram which had two horns will be identified later as Persia in verse 20. The higher came of last. In other words, the horn representing Media came up first. When Gobraz, the medium, the general, destroyed Babylon. He destroyed Babylon, Gobraz. He was a general. He destroyed Babylon. Then later, the Persian monarchy gained the ascendancy over the Medes and took the great empire to a higher peak. This ram then, which is two horns, and one horn more prominent than the other, is Medo-Persian Empire, with the Persians being in the ascendancy, with the Persians being on top, higher. And then Daniel said, I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. So Daniel said, I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward. Why doesn't it say it was pushing eastward? And that's because Persia was in the east and made no further advance to go eastward, further eastward. If they had gone further in that direction, they would have stepped into the Orient, into India and China. However, they were projecting their empire in all other directions. This is the empire which was represented by the bear. Remember the bear, the beast, the bear over in chapter 7. They were motivated by the spirit of conquest, of conquering. Verse 5 says, and as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. As Daniel was marveling at the power and ability of the ram, there from the west came a goat with great movement and a dominant horn. The goat represents Greece, and you will see that over in verse 21, 8 and 21. And the horn typifies Alexander the Great. Remember, we talked about that on Thursday. Under Xerxes, Persia intended to move west, but from the west came this goat, which was moving so fast it touched not the ground, that corresponds to the four wings of the panther. So Alexander the Great is like, the panther represents Alexander the Great because the panther is so quick. It's like it had four wings, and it didn't even touch the ground. It was going so fast. And then they had the ability to go so fast, they always win because they quick, very quick. And like the panther denotes speed, fast, and which was Alexander the Great's army moving that fast. Number six and verse 6 and 7, and he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with claw against him, and smite the ram, and break his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. And he was moved with chlor. Chlor means that he was moved with anger and great hatred. He hated him and full of anger and hate. And he ran into him in order to destroy him. And, you know, we have that kind of hate. We have that bitter hate and anger, but probably none like this. This is really hatred and anger. Xerxes was the last great ruler of Persia, and he made a foray against Europe, against Greece. He moved with an army of 300,000 men and their families. The Greeks were smart. They didn't go out to meet him. Instead, they waited until he got to their place, which was a narrow path. And I was telling y'all about this on Thursday. They didn't go out trying to meet him how when they war against each other, they meet in the middle somewhere. Now, the Greeks said, we're going to wait till they get to this narrow path because they 300 men won't be able to fit all through that narrow path at one time, so we can get ahead of them. So this, they waited and waited, and when they came through that gate through that narrow path, they got a chance to take over and get a whole lot of them. This marked the last effort of the East to move towards the West. No great advance was ever made again. It is true that the great hordes of the Muhammad, the Moors, came up through Spain, but Charles Martel stopped them at the Battle of Tours. All this is historical in its history. It was also true that the Turks attempted to come through the East, through the Balkans, but they fail. Now there rises in the West this tremendous general, a young man, Alexander the Great. We read about that in our history, in school and different things, but they don't give you all of it like this. They don't give all this to you like this. And I thank God that we even had a little history about Alexander the Great. He was only 32 years old when he died. He was a military genius. He had a strategy that wouldn't wait because he was about speed. One of the greatest genius, military genius. He could move a striking force by land quicker than any man ever had. So that's why he was so, so, so special. Now, verse 8, therefore, the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and from it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. When he was strong, the great horn was broken. What was it that broke this horn? There was no human power that could break it. We are told that when he came to power, the whole world was under the heel of Alexander the Great. Tradition says that he sat down and wept because there was no more wars to conquer. See, he was the bear. He was about conquering and dominating. He was just upset because he didn't have no more world wars to win. And I believe that contributed to his death. When he was strong, the great horn was broken. All three of these empires, the Babylon, the Persian, and the Greek, went down in a drunken orgy. Let me say that. I don't think our nation would be destroyed by, like I said, any marijuana, any heroin, or alcohol. But no, marijuana. But alcohol might do it. But I don't think marijuana and heroin or drugs like that would destroy our nation. Okay. Verse 9. Okay, let me just say this. When Alexander the Great died, his empire was divided among four men, which corresponded to the four heads of the panther in chapter 7. These were the four generals who divided the empire. Cassander, who was married to Alexander's sister, took the European section. Macedonia and Greek. Lysimachus, who took the great part of Asia Minor, which is modern day today Turkey. Seleucus, who took Asia, all of the eastern part of the empire except Egypt, and Ptolemy, who took Egypt in northern Africa. The four great generals divided Alexander the Great's empire. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. Now, these little horns are Antichrist. Keep that in mind. The little horns are Antichrist now. The pleasant land is Israel. Always remember that. The little horn of this chapter is not the same as described in the previous chapter, because I know it was the Antichrist. There, the little horn arises out of the fourth kingdom. Here, the little horn came out of the third kingdom. This little horn is historical, while the little horn of chapter 7 is to be revealed in the future, okay? The little horn being presently considered came out of Syria from the Seleucid dynasty. He was a mean one. Antiochus the IV or Epiphanes, and we studied this last week, the son of Antiochus the Great. He is sometimes called Epimenes, the mad man. He was the mad man. He was another demented ruler. Antiochus came to the throne in 17 BC, and he made an attack on Jerusalem. It was against him that the Maccabees were raised up in Judah. Anyway, anti-Semitic to the core. He tried to exterminate the Jews. And you know what, people in history, like Hitler and all of them, killed so many Jews, supposed to be Jews. Anyway, he placed an image of Jupiter in the holy place, in the temple in Jerusalem. This was the first abomination of desolation. See, now nobody ever discussed the abomination of desolation. It's getting ready to be another one, because when, and I see why I wrote started on verse 23, when the Pope go over over there in Jerusalem and go or wherever he's going, I thought he was going in the east over there in the Arab country, and they building a temple for him, and it's just about done. And he's supposed to leave where he is in Rome and go there. He is the abomination of the desolation. He is the second one. When it goes into the holy place, know that the end is nigh. And that's what it says in the Word of God. That's what it says. This was the first, that was the first abomination of desolation. He also poured swine broth. Why would you pour pig broth over the holy vessels? Because Jesus said, and God said, don't eat the pork. So he went and poured all that pig hog stuff all over the vessels in the holy place. Woo! Lord, have mercy. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Let me see, I got about three or four minutes, and I'm going to have to close out because I got an emergency I got to take care of here before 8 o'clock, and it's almost 7:30 here. But this statement is immediately difficult to interpret. I think that the natural interpretation is that Antiochus challenged God and was committed to capture Jerusalem and the temple. This warfare included the spiritual realm where angels and demons were involved. Some of the feasts attributed to Antiochus are astounding. If they are true, demonic powers was exhibited. So when you see, it's like this. When you pour hog broth in the temple of God, in the holy place, and doing things in there that you're not supposed to do, you are challenging God. When God said don't eat it or don't do it and you doing it, you challenging him. He allowed him to challenge because he could have killed him, took breath right out of his body. But yes, he did challenge him by doing what he told him not to. So that's very interesting. But now we still dealing with some of the beasts, the symbolic stuff from those beasts, because this man right here wasn't scared of nothing. He was just demonic. He was just a demonic force, and he had captured Jerusalem. He had attacked Jerusalem. So, you know, Israel, these are holy places of God. You're not even afraid to go up against God. Something wrong with you. He was just demonic. And like I was telling you before, where we at now is earth. Right up above us where the birds and stuff fly, right up above that is where the demons and those powers and principalities and darkness and stuff like that, they up. And then above them is where Jesus and God is. So when you pray, your prayers have to be able to go through that stuff and reach heaven. I've always known that since God taught me that through study of his word, you got to go through that force up there. They up. They people look down and tell my hell and stuff. I know it's a hell. But they up there, believe it. They up there, and you got to pass through there. So it's a ram where they is. They are up there. Know that. But when we come back on Thursday, I'm just going to read these scriptures, the rest of these scriptures, till I get to 23. And I'm not going to go through them like this. I'm going to just read the scripture down to 23, and we're going to start at 23 on Thursday. I'm so grateful that you all decided to join in our Bible study on Daniel tonight. It's going to be really good on Thursday night. So come on back and join in with me. I hate I have to get off so quick, but it is an emergency, and you all be praying for me. I love each and every one of y'all. Father, I ask you to cover each one of them in the blood of Jesus. Encamp your angels all around about them to protect them from all her harm or danger, Lord. I just thank and praise you for your goodness, for your great love, I honor you for every blessed thing that you do, Father, in the name of Jesus. I give you praise. We give you praise. We give you glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' name today and for your glory. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you all. I love you. If you need to call me, call me. Good night.